Welcome, everyone, to Dirt Doctor Radio, specializing in how to be honestly green. There'll be no greenwashing here, just accurate advice on products and techniques that are healthy to use, save money, and are really good for the environment. Tips and suggestions from listeners are encouraged, so give us a call at 866-444-3478. It's now time to venture through the foggy misinformation and learn about what truly is green. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor and proud owner of Mystery Dog Tater, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. It's wet here again in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We've had another big event. Those of you around the country probably are about to get it or have gotten it as well. So some of the things I want to talk about this morning relate to soggy soil and drainage issues and all that kind of thing. I want to talk about pruning today. We're getting into that window. We're very much into the window. That's the best time of the year to plant new permanent things, especially trees. So I want to talk about that some. But whatever you want to bring up is fine. Any reports that you have, any problems that you have with landscaping, gardening, pest control, if you want to talk about compost making, that's fair game. Telephone number to be with me is 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. This hour is brought to you, as always, by the line of pet foods that I highly recommend you try if you haven't already. Victor Pet Foods, V-I-C-T-O-R. Just fantastic. I'm trying, the dogs are, I'm not eating it, but they're trying a new one that is a chicken grain, has grain in it. It's a chicken-based formula, and it's a new one that I hadn't tried before, and they like it. They like, so far, they've liked every one that we've tried. They're available around the country, primarily in the feed stores, farm stores, places like that, a few other places as well. The best thing for you to do is go to the website and check out a location near you there. They've got all the really easy-to-use stuff on their website for finding a place to get the product. It is victordogfood.com. Victor, V-I-C-T-O-R, dogfood.com. And they sponsor our SPCA Pet of the Week, and got a good-looking guy this week from last week. Minnie was adopted, so thank you for that. But Whisper from the week before, still waiting for a home. So check out Whisper's picture and information on our website on dirtdoctor.com. This week it's Ben's, and Ben's is a good-looking dude. He's a shiny black coat, got some pretty white on his chest, nice a picture of him on our website. He's 2.5 years old. Said he maybe has never had a real home. He's bounced around a little bit. Apparently, everybody at the SPCA really likes him a lot, and he gets along with people super well. Says he's a little bit uneasy about certain other dogs. So if you have other dogs and you're thinking about adopting Ben's, bring them in, see how they get along. He gets along well with some dogs and others. He's a little standoffish. Loves tennis balls, it says. Likes to sleep with them all around him. And I don't know, he looks good. Looks like a good choice for somebody, especially those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's owned by the SPCA near downtown Dallas, just west of downtown Dallas. And check Ben's out. The information in his pictures on our website, DirtDoctor.com. Just click on the SPCA button there. And let's see. My tea is one of my usuals. A lot of lemon, a little ginger, hibiscus flowers. About to run out of those because of the cool weather. And Turk's Cap. The Turk's Cap fruit's really forming like crazy all over the place. If you have let your roses go to fruit, if you didn't deadhead them and you get some nice hips turning red, chopping the hips up and putting that in your herb tea is a good idea as well. And add a little honey, but Yesterday, I made some tea, and it was primarily to, I figured it would, I'd drink a couple of cups warm and hot, and then let it sit around and get cold and turn it into an iced tea. And I put a whole lemon in it, and it's good, but it's almost a little bit too strong from a lemony standpoint, but it's pretty good. Probably tone it down with a little bit more of the other herbal ingredients. Let's see. Like I said, it's soggy here. The drainage situations are several around. Some of the plants, if they've been standing in water for a long time, might be getting a little bit of stress. If you're using an organic program, it's probably not a long-term deal, probably just a temporary deal. If you have some drainage issues where the water's getting someplace where it shouldn't get, like in the house and places like that, a couple of different things to do. The first one is to see what you can do on the surface to regrade a little bit and drain the water away to a lower point. Sometimes you can do that with just some simple raking and very little soil change, so you get that nice positive drainage. And if it gets going, this was a situation at our house. I had made a mistake throwing some mulch in an area that I knew was where drainage went across. I was just careless about it. And we had that first really heavy rain event in the spring, and it was enough of a change in the grade to where it blocked it, that surface movement of the water, just enough to where it built up and backed up into an area near the front door and was able to get down through the soil and under the house. Totally my fault. And so I've changed the grading ever so slightly, really. So on the surface, it moved really nice and smoothly. And once it starts doing that, there's a siphoning effect and works like a charm. If you have a place that's a bigger problem where water's really standing, you can't even hardly walk through it, a lot of times underground drainage is the thing that has to be done. And the simple way of doing that is just to dig a ditch from the problem area over to a lower spot where it can daylight, you know, definitely being lower than the drainage problem area. And you can put a drain line in it. A lot of people like to do that and have nice positive fall all the way along. Generally, I don't put a pipe in. I've learned that if you put gravel, just a crushed gravel, in other words, a rough-sided gravel that won't melt and become soil, in other words, will continue to have good airspace in it, it works well enough without the pipe. If you put pipe in, use perforated PVC pipe, put the holes pointing down in the bottom of the ditch, and it's probably best if you put a small amount of gravel on the bottom of the ditch and then fill up the ditch with the gravel. A lot of people like to put fabric around the pipe. I don't. I think the fabric clogs up worse than the gravel, quicker than the gravel, and so I'm so far, and I've had some engineers and for some friends of mine too, we've talked about this, and there's certainly a debate on that, so you can go either way you want to go. I don't do it. I don't use the fabric on the ditch itself or wrapping around the pipe, and rarely put the pipe in. Usually I just do the gravel. The best gravel in most situations is lava gravel, because it's got so much airspace. You know, it's such a porous gravel, and you don't use the lava sand in this case. You use the lava gravel. It's the gravel that you see sold in bags as a decorative mulch. It's also the same size that is commonly used in barbecue grills and things like that. And you can do this ditch in grass or in a bed area or in a gravel driveway or wherever you need to get some drainage. The ditch can be dug by hand with a shovel. It can be dug with a ditching machine. And then in those two cases, it's best if that's done where there's not a lot of trees around, so you damage as few roots as possible. Where you have to put drainage through roots of trees, there's a great way to do it. You do it with an air spade. You hire a an arborist to come out, or you rent an air spade, and yes, they are rentable, and you dig the ditch with the air spade. It's kind of how the air spade came about. It was first used to uncover unspent ordnance and without blowing it up, and then later plumbers and other people realized its great value at working through areas where there was a whole bunch of tree roots, and you can literally dig the ditch right through the roots without hurting the roots at all. If piping needs to go in, it can be threaded through the roots or under the roots, and it works great. So I'll talk about that just a little bit more, and we're getting phone calls starting to come in. We'll go to the phones right away. 866-444-3478. I'll be back.
XO Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor eliminator air freshener. It's non-toxic, pH neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors, but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try XO Odor Neutralizer. XO has an exclusive offer just for Dirt Doctor listeners. An 8-ounce pump spray and a 16-ounce refill bottle for only $19.98 with free shipping. Go to exocorp.com/dirtdoctor or call 800-442-9696.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
I have a great recommendation for container gardening. SmartPot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growin' Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All right, Howard, back with you. And just a real quick finish on the drainage thing, and then we can get into more details if anybody wants to talk more about it. I need to get to the phones here. But the last thing is, when you have dug a ditch and filled it with gravel to fix a drainage problem, move some water from point A to point B, you bring the gravel in the ditch all the way to the surface. If you're in a bed doing this drain line, you literally bring the gravel all the way up to it's flush with the soil. You don't even need to put mulch over it unless you don't like the way it looks, and then you can do that, but you don't put any soil over it. Out in the turf, out in a grass area, you do basically the same thing. You bring it all the way to the surface, and then you can put a piece of turf over the top of it, or just let the grass grow in from the sides, and there'll be just a slight, ever so slight depression there as a result of doing it that way, but it'll drain a little bit better. And this way of doing a drain line, one of the reasons it works so well is that there's no inlet in one spot or another. The entire ditch is an inlet. And you can dig them across drainage. If drainage is rushing across an area and going down to another area and becoming a problem, you can use it going across the drainage direction as an interceptor, and works pretty well too. Anyway, very simple, very effective way to accomplish some drainage. To the phones, Bo first up this morning, Georgetown, Delaware, listening on WGMD. Hello, Bo.
Welcome, Doctor, to November.
Yes, sir. We have started, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Now, my daughter gave us a popcorn plant, and I think we're in zone 10, and I've found out that the plant is a zone 7. It's a tropical. And I want to bring it in, and if you could give me some advice on how to care for it.
Well, Bo, there's a couple of different plants that are referred to as popcorn plants. Does yours have white flowers or yellow flowers?
Yellow.
Okay, it's probably cassia. Do you remember seeing that name on the?
Yes, I have the.
Okay, cool. Well, that's a good plant. I grow some in Dallas here. I'm surprised that you're in zone 10 there.
That's what I was told. I'm not sure.
Doesn't it get pretty cold there in Delaware?
We're borderline. In other words, I don't think God knows where Delaware is.
I understand. Well, 10, that's warmer than we are in Dallas, so that's why that's surprising.
I must be mixed up.
Yeah, I think you're probably more in the 5 or 6 zone area. I think it would have a little freeze damage problem there, so your idea about bringing it in is good. Any kind of basically a woody outdoor plant is not going to be real happy being brought in the winter unless you do two things. And one is to cut back drastically on the amount of water. People think, well, I'll bring the plant inside in the winter and I'll put it by a window or under a skylight and it's going to get plenty of light and I'll keep watering it the same regimen. That doesn't work. You need to probably cut the watering that you've been doing on it at least in half and maybe more than that. Really check the moisture. And the best tool to use, Bo, is a wooden pencil that's been sharpened, and you stick the lead part down in the soil, and the way the soil and the moisture will adhere to the, you know, the cut part of the pencil, it's a real easy way for you to take a look at it and see whether there's any moisture left there or not. And what you want to do is let the soil dry out almost to the point where the plant is going to start wilting before you water again. That's a real key in bringing plants in for the winter. The other thing is give it as much light as you possibly can. Windows, skylights, under some artificial light, something like that. And I probably wouldn't fertilize any at all until about time to move it back outside next spring.
All right. Do I need like a light or anything, a special light or anything, because it's a tropical?
No, just any kind of light that you have. And if you have different kinds of light, if you have some fluorescent and bulb light, what I'm trying to say, you know what I'm talking about. Just give it as much light as you can. It really doesn't matter. You don't need to go buy the real fancy greenhouse type lights or plant lights. You can use any kind of lighting that you already have.
Very good. All right. Thank you very much, and thanks for what you do for everybody.
Well, I appreciate the call. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
And let's go. Where am I going to go? Flora in Cleburne, Texas, listening here on 660. Hi, Flora.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Great. I have two questions. One is I planted some cabbage from seed, and the first crop did not survive. So I replanted a row, and I planted the seeds really close together, and they pretty much all came up. I always planted things in pots separate, and I'm asking about thinning the cabbage. They're only about 2 inches high now, but they're really clumpy together.
Well, there's two ways to thin out little seedlings as they come up, and one of them is kind of a cavalier approach. You take a rake, and you just kind of lightly rake across the mass of little seedlings that are coming up. This works especially for carrots and things that have been planted from small seed. Or you can go the more tedious route and hand pick some and thin out the cabbage. Don't throw that away, because using those little baby cabbages in your salads and all is a really, really good thing to do. A lot of nutrition there.
Okay, can I transplant those into an empty row?
Yeah, you can put them in another place, too. Let me put you on hold. Got to run for a minute, and I'll be right back after this. Don't go away.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garajuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garajuice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I now feed my dogs and the pet food that you should let your pets try. They will enjoy it, just like mine do. Victor not only has grain-free choices, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. These great products are naturally preserved with no toxic chemicals, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor dog food and cat food at your favorite pet store or feed store. And for more information about dog and cat food recommended by me, the Dirt Doctor, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. We were talking to Flora about the cabbage and kind of rushed there. My timing, sorry about that, Flora. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. No problem.
Yeah, the ability to transplant the little seedlings is there, no question about it. Some varieties, some species, some kinds of vegetables transplant easier than others, but it's certainly worth giving it a try if you need some plants in some other areas. Just move them to the new spot as gently as possible and water them in. They should be fine. Should be good to go.
Wonderful. Thank you. I have one more question.
Sure.
My daughter's moving out of the country. We adopted her 8 chickens that have been organically
okay,
raised.
Good for you.
And we've had them for a month. And I want to use their manure in our garden next year. And I'm wondering, this straw with the manure, should I put it in a pile? Should I keep it dry in a 55-gallon drum? Or what should I do with it?
Well, I tell you, the... chicken manure is something you have to manage a little bit differently. I've got the printer just starting here behind me. I think we're okay. It was a little loud. The chicken manure is a very good organic fertilizer, but it's powerful. It's what would be referred to as a hot organic fertilizer. And so the best way to handle the chicken manure, chicken droppings, is to have it mixed with hay and leaves and some other things and composted for a while before it's used. I'm from Pittsburgh, Texas, as most of you know, and Pilgrim's, Pride Chicken Manufacturing Chicken Company is there. And years ago, the little golf course there in Pittsburgh, they got the manure fresh from the plant and put it on the golf course. One, it smelled terrible, and two, it looked kind of bad because there were feathers mixed in and all kinds of pretty rough-looking stuff. But what I learned from that experience was it was a powerful fertilizer. You didn't have to use very much for it to turn things green and really be effective, but it works better if it's buffered with the composting process first. Now, yours... Yours will be real clean. You don't have to worry about some of the... the things that are in the commercial chicken manure, some of the growth regulators, even arsenic, used to be used a lot. I don't know if it still is or not, but your clean stuff, you can use it as strong as you want. But if you do, just be really careful not to overuse it or you might burn plants. It's one of the organic fertilizers that can actually burn plants.
Okay. Would you let it stay dry during the winter or would you let it get rained on?
I would put it in a pile and mix it with other materials and just let it stay naturally moist. The rain will probably keep it moist enough. If we go through real dry period, which I don't think we're going to do from what I'm hearing about the long-term forecast, if you need to add some water, do it. But I would, rather than leaving it on the ground, I'd leave some on the ground. That's just a natural thing to do. But to get a good quality organic fertilizer out of this deal, it'd be better to put it in a pile and let it compost with some other organic material.
Okay. I'll add it to my compost pile. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I appreciate the call. Call us again.
Okay.
And we have an open line, so jump on at 866-444-3478. Let's get into pruning a little bit and tree planting. Again, best time of the year in many ways for both of those things. Here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where I am, and for a lot of you across the South, you still have green foliage on your trees. And that's an advantage. We're in the fall. Things have pretty much shut down because of the cool nights and cool mornings, and you're starting to see a little bit of fall color. It's not been great for us here, and as it often is, but it is now shut down. Everything, systems in the plants are basically shut down. But the advantage of pruning now is that you can still see what's alive and what's dead. You can see the completely dead limbs a lot easier than if you wait a month or longer and do it after the foliage is completely gone from the deciduous trees. You can certainly still do it then, and a lot of pruning is done in the dead of the winter, and that's fine. There's just an advantage right now that you can see better what needs to go, what might be a dangerous limb that's dead that needs to be taken out, and that'd be high on the list of things to prune right now is anything that's dangerous. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that your trees, whatever they are, red oaks, live oaks, cedar elms, maples, whatever, need to be thinned out every year. They don't. A tree puts on a certain amount of foliage and growth because that's what it wants to have. And for us to think that we've got to alter that, that that's helpful to the tree, is just simply incorrect. It probably started by people in the tree business, obviously, trying to get as many people as possible to thin out their trees and do pruning work in the winter months when they didn't have as much other work going on. But too much thinning of a tree is not good for the tree. It stresses the tree. In some cases, some species of trees, cedar elms in that category, if you over-prune a cedar elm, especially if you remove too many lower limbs and do a raising job, which I also don't recommend that you do. You can kill a tree. You can kill certain trees like cedar elms and other elms. They don't like to have heavy pruning done. The pruning, for the most part, is done for your sake, not the tree's sake. Now, that's not 100% the case. If the tree is growing one direction and has way too much weight in one direction and might cause some breakage or it looks funny or whatever, that can be done, and that's helpful to the tree. The looking funny is more for your benefit. But most of the pruning is to get rid of a limb that's hitting the car when you come in the driveway, or it's hitting you in the head when you walk in the front door, or it's blocking a view that you want to have. If you want to frame a certain kind of view, that's a reason to do some pruning, to let a little bit more light through the tree down to the ground plane and the plants under the tree. That's a reason to prune. Don't be fooled to think that you can grow grass in the shade of a tree long term. You can't. You're never going to be able to open the tree up enough to do that. If you open a tree up enough to get light down to grow turf under a tree, you probably have over-pruned the tree and done some damage to the tree. It's at that point you start thinking about ground covers and mulches and hard materials like decomposed granite and that sort of thing. But pruning can be done on a commercial situation. I was just in Boston, as a lot of you know, recently, and the Christian Science headquarters there, one of the things I always like to go see is that project, because the water feature is so spectacular, and the trees there that are around the one end, I don't know if that's north or east, but anyway, the around one end of the water feature are linden trees that are pruned to be perfectly matched every year. Well, see, that's a reason to prune, but that's not a helpful thing to the tree. That's a helpful thing to the observers of the landscaping. So do pruning if it's necessary. This is a perfect time to get into that. And don't do any flush cuts. What that means is a lot of people used to. I did too. I learned that term and mistakenly repeated it for some number of years. But a flush cut means that you've cut all the way over flush with the trunk, or flush with the larger limb that the smaller limb is being cut away from. And if you do a flush cut, you will have damaged the tree pretty severely in some cases, because what you've done is that you've cut over past the limb that you're cutting off and into the trunk. That swelling that you see is called the branch collar, and the branch collar is part of the trunk, or part of the bigger limb that you're cutting a smaller limb from. And it's the healing device. When you cut into it or cut it completely away, what generally happens is the healing is slower, and the healing tends to go back into the trunk, and cavities are quite frequently formed by doing that work. Plus, decay can get started at the top and the bottom of the cut. Generally speaking, when you've made a cut on a limb at the proper place, you stand back and look at it when you're done, it will be perfectly round. If you've cut too close, if you've cut into the branch collar or cut it completely off, which is really bad, you will look at a football-shaped cut, generally speaking, an oval. All right? We've got good pictures of this on our website on dirtdoctor.com, the good and bad. I'm going to be doing a new video this next week, hopefully, in one of the several new videos. And one of them that I'm going to do is about proper pruning. And that's one of the most important things of all. Well, two things. Don't over-prune and make the cuts at the proper place. If you've got a question about where the cut ought to be made, cut too far out. Leave too much of a stub. It's far better than cutting in too close. I don't use pruning paint or wound dressing, especially at this time of the year. A lot of people disagree with that, but I've never done it. And even though we have oak wilt in our area a little bit, I've never seen any indication that the pruning paint helps to prevent it. Some people would argue that it does, and if you want to use pruning paint, fine. The one you should use is called Lac balsam. It'll be harder to find, but any competent tree care company should know what it is and should be able to get it for you. It is an imported product. I think it's made in France. But it's the best pruning paint because, or wound dressing, because it stays soft and it breathes. And so if you're going to do it, I don't, but if you want to, lac balsam is the way to go. Let me just finish with one other thing, and then I promise I'll get right to the phones as soon as I get back from this break. But other things that relate to pruning, some people put guy wires in trees. In other words, a cable going from point A to point B holding up another limb. I rarely, if ever, recommend that. I think it takes a dangerous situation and makes it more dangerous. It completely changes the tensile strength on limbs if you're trying to hold them up. Generally speaking, limbs that go out horizontally or even dip down are the strongest limbs on the tree. They've developed tremendous tensile strength because they've been having to hold themselves up for a long time. The weakest tree limbs, generally speaking, are the ones that are going straight up. Those are the ones where you'll see the most ice storm damage when you get real heavy collections of ice on trees. The ones going out dip down and rest on the ground for a while and then pop back up when it's warmer. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We'll talk about more of this and go to the phones right after this break. Don't go away. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. In addition to the grain-free choices, all the great Victor products are wheat, corn, soy, and gluten-free and are naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater love Victor. Your dogs and cats will too. Ask for Victor at your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The Sick Tree Treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Okie dokie, Howard back with you. Anybody that wants to ask any questions about pruning or get into some subject that I didn't bring up there, give us a call at 866-444-3478. In the meantime, we're going to talk about a few other topics. First of all, with Joan, and also in listening in Delaware. Hi, Joan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing
I'm so
great.
Happy that I can listen to your program. It's so helpful and interesting as well.
Well, thanks.
I have a problem. Actually, I don't. I'm calling for my daughter. She lives in New Jersey, and she has a tree. Maybe it's about 20 feet tall, and the tree was girdled from a strap wrapped very, very tightly multiple times around the trunk, approximately, I don't know, I'm thinking it's about 4 feet off the ground or 6 feet off the ground. And the strap was removed, and as soon as the strap was removed, the top of the tree just died. Obviously, the nutrients or whatever weren't getting up to the top of the tree. Now, she doesn't want to cut the tree down. She wants to somehow save the tree. It is a beautiful tree. It's an evergreen type of a tree, pyramidal, you know, very, not too wide, but it grows tall. And what could she do? What's the best option for her with this tree?
Well, there's really only one option, Joan, and that's to cut the dead part above the girdling that was done there away.
Okay.
And it will grow back. It's going to be very difficult to get it to ever have a pointed top and the shape that it originally probably had. What it will probably do is send out multiple stems from below the damaged area. And probably what I would do is let them all grow for a while. If one dominates, really strongly dominates, you might cut the others away and let it grow, and it might become – the leader again, and it fell out to be a more natural form, or what the original natural form was. But if you let the multiple stems grow, it's going to fill out and be just kind of wide and more rounded, which can be, you know, attractive too.
Yes, absolutely.
So either way is fine. You'll just kind of have to call the shot as the shoots start to grow and you see what's happening.
Yeah. Now, would she need to paint the cut with anything or just leave it naturally?
No, like I don't know if you heard me talking about pruning trees, but it's the same thing with smaller plants as well. I just don't believe in going to the trouble of painting the cuts. I don't think it's worth. In fact, if anything, it slows down the callusing and the healing of of the cut area.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, that's great. She's going to be happy to hear this.
Okay. Send me some before and after pictures.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks.
Lot.
Yeah, that actually is very helpful when people do that, because we can put it on Facebook, put it on the website, and show people what was done. And it if it works, great. If it didn't work, that's great too. We show people, well, we thought that was going to work better than it did. Next time, maybe we ought to do this. I think it's a very important part of what we do, both on the regular website, dirtdoctor.com, and even more importantly in our not-for-profit website, which is Texas Organic Research Center. I think it's just as important to show people what is tried and does not work as what did work really well, you know. We've got another Joan now in Rusk, Texas. Hi, Joan.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Great. Thanks.
I have a I have two questions. One about a sago palm.
Okay.
Another about a bottle brush plant. Now, I have a sago palm that's probably 2 to 3 foot tall, and a friend of mine wants it. And I'm wondering, is it the proper time to mow this from my yard to her yard?
Yeah, it'd be a great time to do it. Now, sago palm, both sago palm and bottle brush are marginally hardy for you there in Rusk. It gets a little cold for both of them, both plants.
Okay.
Now, you can get away with it with the sago palm, but until we have a really tough winter, you know, when it really drops. And the worst winters are those when we've had 80 degrees and all of a sudden one night it goes to 15. Those are the ones that do the most damage, when you have that huge change. So sago, a little tougher probably than the bottle brush. There are some bottle brushes on the market now that are supposed to be more hardy. I haven't grown them, so I don't know that they are. But yeah, this is the perfect time, because in the fall you get more, you get kind of a burst of root growth when you transplant or plant a new tree, and then you get a little bit of root growth all during the winter, and in the spring they take off like they've been there all along. So it's a great time to do the work.
Yes, sir. I just thought of another question. Is it okay if
sure.
I have one more?
Sure.
I'm moving my plants from the yard into my hothouse. And I have some hibiscus.
Okay.
And I noticed, you know, they're still blooming pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed some little black bugs, soft type bugs, right up in the bud where the bloom is trying to open up, and they're tilting the bloom.
Right. Are these in containers?
Yes, sir, they are.
They're all in pots. Hibiscus, when it gets in stress, and it's getting a little stress right now due to the cool weather, these are probably tropical hibiscus, and those insects you're seeing are probably aphids up there in the new growth. You can kill them by getting dishwashing detergent, something like Lemon Joy, and putting a tablespoon or less per gallon water and spray. You can kill those aphids really easily, but they're probably going to come back, because the plant really wants to be out in full sun and be hot and warm, and those conditions just aren't here right now. So give that a shot. I'm going to have to put you on hold if you had something else. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.